October 22nd, 2022. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios, here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodora Yauman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And my guest tonight, we're very pleased to have Waukesha South varsity football coach Darnell Wiltz. Darnell, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I said tonight because this show is recorded, but we're going to act like it's Saturday morning.
It looks like Saturday morning. So we got lights. We're good.
We sure do.
Absolutely.
So, but we really wanted to have Darnell on because one of the big news items in Waukesha this month, perhaps maybe the biggest news item, was Waukesha South's forfeiture of its last two games of its football season. And even the backstory behind that, where they kind of had to fight tooth and nail with where they got a lot of community support. And finally, you know, initially it sounded like the leadership of the school district denied the request of the coaching staff and the athletic director to forfeit the games, and then wisely changed their minds, and very grateful for that. And also the bigger story too is that we're finally getting very vocal, Black Shirt Nation, about petitioning the Classic 8, the WIA, about getting Waukesha getting these teams out of the Classic 8 and in conferences where they can compete on a level playing field.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer when you think about it. We just don't fit, and that's okay. But hopefully with the new leadership, as far as our superintendent, we've got a fairly new athletic director. We have a Classic 8 conference commissioner that was our old athletic director.
Todd Zabrilski.
Great guy. We have a good relationship. But when you look at just the sheer numbers and you look at the demographics, we just don't fit. And again, it's okay. Hopefully the WIAA and the Classic 8 will do something about it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Yeah. And so, as I promised Coach Wiltz, we would touch very briefly on what prompted this decision to forfeit the last two games. And so I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that just on a high pro level. You know, talk about the metrics and numbers and
sure,
and why it was the right thing to do for our kids.
Sure. We've got about 59 total kids on our roster, and that's from senior through freshman.
Varsity and JV.
Varsity and JV. We don't have a freshman football team, and the reason for that is because we didn't have a eighth grade football team because of sheer numbers in our youth.
From the year before.
From the year before. We were at about 67 kids in our youth program when I took over as a head football coach, and we've built that up to about 116. So it's a huge jump in promoting our youth and helping families that maybe they couldn't afford to participate. We reached out and we figured it out. And that's what you're supposed to do. I'm trying to build a program.
Sure.
And it's about people, right? Mm-hmm. And if people need help, we're going to help. We're going to do everything we can.
Yeah.
However, that former eighth grade class, which is now ninth graders, we only have eight ninth graders total.
Wow.
The year before, we had about 19 ninth graders, which are now our sophomores. And with attrition, you've got about maybe 17 total now.
Sure.
Which, I mean, those two classes, you can't have a JV with 17 players, so they always had to bump up.
Yeah.
So total, we had about 59. Mm. And in the Classic 8, it's a tough conference. You know, we went through injuries.
Sure.
And those injuries started at the first game. We had a couple nicked up. Mm. The next game, a couple more with more significant injuries. And it continued to down spiral of injuries. So we ended up with about 22 season-ending injuries. That's a lot.
And of those 22, like all 22 were either starters or guys that were getting a lot of playing time because they were...
All of them.
they are talented enough to play the varsity ranks and to put in serious time.
Absolutely.
Playing for Blackshirt Nation.
Well, when you think about it, if they're getting significant time, that means they're playing both ways.
Yeah.
And they're playing a lot of football, offense, defense, and special teams.
Yes.
And when you do that, you're more prone to injury.
Yeah.
And I believe that had a huge factor in in our injuries.
Yeah. You know, in the first, probably the first, like, most profound injury, I believe it was in game two against Nathan Hale, which was Evan Marks, who was starting both ways, offensive tackle and defensive
Offensive tackle and defensive end.
Defensive end, excuse me.
Yeah, and he ruptured his Achilles. I mean,
and that could have some long-term effects.
Absolutely, 17 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, what 17-year-old? What 17-year-old ruptures an Achilles?
Mm-hmm.
And he does it. I ruptured mine, and I was 30.
Sure.
I would say I'm fortunate, but it hurt. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Sure. We talked about this before the show too. Evan Marks the year before had an amazing junior year at linebacker. That was his core position, but because we were so low on numbers for the line, Evan not only had to play line, he had to play both lines, offense and defense.
Yes.
And quite a few of our kids had to do that.
Yes, he's built himself up. He knew it was coming.
Yeah.
He built himself up. He was about 235.
Sure.
And that's a good weight for an offensive lineman.
For high school, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm not saying you're doing the wrong thing, but it's just, unfortunately, then you had a hole in you know, linebacker's very important position.
Absolutely.
And so that was, you were already starting. Because I remember for the broadcast, I would prepare the roster, you know, the lineups, I'd put it on a grid for Johnny Watermill and the color guy to see. And like I said, probably six or seven of the starting positions were guys playing both ways on both sides of the ball.
And think about that. It's hard to coach those kids because they're always on the field. You never get to
bring
them over and talk to them. What do you see? What do you, can you tell me something about this? So the adjustments as a coach, it's tough. You know, and we're in the Classic 8. They have very good coaches in the Classic 8.
Yeah, it's very hard good players.
Yeah, very good players.
A lot of depth.
It's hard for us to adjust to anything that we see. We take them in at halftime. We try our best to adjust. But they're tired after
halftime. They're out of gas in the second half.
They are. And we'll play you tough.
At the end of the first half.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some big highlights this year. We won our both non-conference games for the first time in 9 seasons.
Yeah, we've done.
And there were no slouches.
No, they weren't. I've done a lot of research with our team and our program over the last 20-plus years. And we win outside of this conference about 73% of the time.
Yeah.
That's really good for us, you know, outside of the conference, but in this conference, you would be surprised of that percentage, and
it's
not a very good percentage.
Sure. How are we doing on time, Kelvin? 4 minutes. Excellent. Yeah. So, and we want to clarify for everybody listening, it's not like you're trying to stack the shelf with state championship trophies.
Absolutely not. I'm doing what's in the best interest of kids. Football saved my life, and I will do whatever I need to do to make sure a kid like myself has the opportunity to play the game safely and have the opportunity to participate. And if they want to go further in their career in football, it's my job to get them there. And that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to love them up. I'm going to coach them up. Tough love, discipline. That's what I love to do. Again, football saved my life. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Could you elaborate on that? How did it save your life? If that's okay, if I can ask.
I would say I'm a product of my environment. Where you live and how you grow up and what you see is pretty much what you do. And I did those things. And I'm not proud of them. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I played the cards I was dealt. And I gravitated to sports. Sports kept me out of the street. It kept me out of the juvenile system. It kept me out of where some of my friends are now. So if I didn't have sports, I would be hanging with my friends that are now in prison or not on earth right now. And unfortunately for them, I mean, that those decisions got them where they are.
Sure.
I actually had a friend of mine tell me that you don't need to do this. You're a much better person than I am. And they pushed me to
sports.
Great. And actually, I was a Division I baseball player.
Nice.
And people don't know that. They think I'm just all football. I was just good in baseball. And I didn't listen to anybody. I just played it, and I was really good at it. But football, I'm 5'7". Yeah, I was shortstop.
Yeah, you got the frame for it.
Yeah, and football, I had to work at it. Yeah. I wasn't that good, so I listened. So it's a lot easier for me to coach football than it is baseball. Mm. So, but it did save my life. That was the sport I gravitated to the most. I thought I was Barry Sanders. That's what I thought. Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't that good.
He was pretty special.
He was.
But... So not only saved your life, but it also helped you get to college.
Mm-hmm. It did.
You went to Cornell College in Iowa.
I did. I played football, baseball, and I ran track. And then after Cornell College in Iowa, I started to coach there. I coached football.
That's great.
I learned a lot from just being there for a couple of years. And after those 2 years, I ended up going back to Texas, where I'm from.
Nice.
And I was able to become a graduate assistant at Texas Christian University.
Horned Frogs.
Oh, yeah. And they're on a roll right now, baby.
Are they?
Heck, yeah.
I haven't been paying attention, but I always like them.
We just beat Kansas. It was a big win for us. Kansas is a good team.
Yeah. I'm big into history, and there was a great Sports Illustrated article about a famous Cotton Bowl when Texas Christian beat Syracuse. And Syracuse had Jim Brown.
Yeah. Ooh.
And back then, it was one platoon football, which meant you played both ways.
Yeah.
And so Jim Brown was just... He just ran over people. But on defense, as cornerback, he couldn't tackle to save his life, which nobody knew. And it could have been the fatigue from
carrying the ball. Yeah.
But that was TCU's strategy, was they just ran to Brown's side every time, and it was just they were trading scores and leads. And finally, Texas Christian just had enough gas to pull it out at the end, and it was like one of these legendary games. And could that be an option for high school football with these declining enrollments, going back to one platoon football?
Oh, man, that would be tough.
It's essentially what you played this year.
Absolutely. Well, you think about it in smaller conferences, absolutely. Yeah, it's not as taxing in smaller conferences.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, and there's a strategy I learned, too, was that the guy, if you were the last guy to have the ball on a play, if the next down was a kicking play, you had to kick it. So it was like a basketball strategy, like following the big guy or the weakest shooter. So,
yeah, but that works.
So, hey, we have more to talk about with Coach Wiltz when we come back. We're going to talk about the future of Blackshirt football and what we can look forward to. So don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues. This Week in Waukesha continues with Waukesha South varsity football head coach Darnell Wiltz. And before the break, we were talking, you had a graduate assistant coaching job at Texas Christian.
I did. It was fun. It was different, I'll tell you that. I learned a lot. Yeah. I learned a lot about football in those brief couple of years.
And you grew up in Texas.
I did. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas.
Where football's religion.
It is religion. Yeah. And everybody plays it. I tell a funny story. Is that one of my best friends, his name's D. Henry. D was a junior at the time, and he hadn't played a lick of football. And his mom said, "Son, in my house, we play football. You're playing." And she forced him to play as a junior. He played on JV as a junior.
Right.
And he was not very good. His senior year, it was unbelievable. He worked his tail off. He ended up going to school and playing college football.
He played in the NFL too, didn't he?
He didn't play in the NFL.
That sounded familiar. No. The name sounded familiar.
I've got a couple friends that did, but he did not. But he was an All-American in college.
And where did he play again?
A small college in Missouri. I don't remember the name.
Nice.
But it's unbelievable.
Sure.
After 1 year of playing, you become this freak.
Yeah.
It was.
So you moved to Wisconsin, and football is a big deal here. Classic 8, I mean, it's a big deal. But that culture is not the football culture is not the same as it is in Texas.
It's not. And not the, no knock on Wisconsin football, yeah. right? I'm here. I enjoy it.
It's a different animal down there.
It's just different.
Yeah.
There's so much money pumped into athletics, period.
Sure.
Whether it's football, basketball, baseball in Texas, it's just something that we believe in.
Yeah.
And here it's more, and I'll say it, it's more of almost recreation in some areas.
Sure.
Some areas take it pretty serious and some areas don't. They believe it's more recreation.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to a couple places here where, you know, they're like, oh, these are huge stadiums. I'm like, everybody's stadium like that in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, at Ken Hallib Stadium, I told you my brother used to live in Allen. He still lives in the Dallas area.
Oh, yeah.
And he was taking me around in Ken Hallib Stadium of the same size. And that's South Stadium. The same size stadium at Allen was the marching band stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The football stadium, yeah, that's the one over there with the big exterior around it. It looked like a college football stadium and probably sat like 20, 30, 40,000.
I believe in Allen, that was the $83 million stadium.
Probably, yeah.
And they had a crack in it and they had to redo it.
Wow.
So there was more money pumped into it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That's Kyler Murray town right there.
That's Allen. Where he was from. Okay.
Allen, sure. Texas, man.
So my brother. He played football, but he also he liked lacrosse. Like, we came from a big lacrosse town in Western New York, and he decided to help start a youth lacrosse program. And you're thinking, okay, in Texas, everyone's glued on football, so nobody, you know, I can do what I want.
Absolutely,
no way. He was like, he'd get up, he'd have to go to 7 o'clock committee meetings on, you know, on Saturday mornings, and I mean, it was high act. Like, sports in general there is a big deal.
Yeah,
it's huge.
But I'll tell you, we did it, and Saturday morning we were there all day Saturday, and then Sunday after church, we went back. Remember, it's Texas, church.
After church?
Yep. We went back, and we stayed there till about 5. You know, it's a huge commitment.
Yeah.
Enjoy every bit of it.
And too. I heard the high schools don't, the public schools don't have baseball because spring is spring football in Texas.
We do have spring football. We do have baseball. Baseball starts in February in Texas.
Okay.
Sure. So it's a little bit earlier in Texas.
Because the great lacrosse schools in Texas are like the private high schools.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but are there aspects of that, and because I've seen some of it, are there aspects of that Texas culture that you can adapt and bring to Waukesha that I think you had already with like the Sunday practices? And
yeah, there's aspects of it. And part of that is building the program. You have to start in a youth, and that's what my focus is. Not only from the high school, but from the youth, building that culture in the youth as far as parents' commitment, as far as player commitment.
Sure.
And as far as paying attention to the youth. So our athletes at the high school, they work the youth football games. They're the chain gang. They're the announcers. They work the concessions. And that's part of that buy-in.
Sure.
And they're heroes to our youth kids, those high school kids. And I wanted to bring that part of it because I remember every Saturday when there's a youth game, after we had our weightlifting session, we were out there and we were working it in Texas. And that's what we did.
Sure.
So that's an aspect of that culture that I'm used to, that I'm trying to bring. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So in youth program too, how are we doing on time, Calvin? 2 minutes. Great. So we've already, in spite of the misfortunes of football having to forfeit the last two games, the youth program, there's a sixth grade team, I believe, that's undefeated.
There's a sixth grade team that's undefeated.
They beat New Berlin a couple Saturdays ago.
They did. And they shut them out. Yeah.
Shut them out.
That was New Berlin's first loss ever.
In like 3 or 4 years or so, I heard. Yeah. New Berlin West. Yeah. So the eighth grade team that your son and Coach Stillman's son plays on has only had one loss this year, correct?
This is their first loss.
And so the record's like 5-1 or 6-1. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to the playoffs. And that's a very good class of kids. So, again, we have kids in the program now, and we're bringing them up through the ranks. We just have to weather this storm here.
Sure.
Make sure that we do this properly. And that was part of this decision as well, too.
Sure. And also the coaching staff. I mean, we have 1 minute for a break, but we're going to continue this discussion. But coaching staff, there's some great resumes of coaches that I think any Classic A team or any other team would want to have on their staff.
Absolutely. We've got very good coaches. And you know what? It's not even the coaching aspect of it. It's people that actually care about kids. Mm-hmm. And I want to surround myself with great people. Sure. And I have done that.
Yeah.
And it just makes my job a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah. So we're going to go pay some bills now. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about Coach Wiltz's wonderful staff and some of the other support people he has behind him in Blackshirt Football Nation. So don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues. This Week in Waukesha, and that's my dearly departed friend David Bowie with Suffragette City, and should really be one of the anthems here in this Suffragette City, Waukesha, also known as Guitar Tone, also known as the Spring City, but really needed to do more to celebrate our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw, especially with Theodore Yeomans Park right around the corner, and with election time coming up, too, so get out there and vote. But we're back with Coach Darnell Wiltz of the Waukesha South varsity football team and really the overall football program that goes all the way down to the youth level. Is there a fifth grade team, too, I understand?
Fifth through eighth. I actually own the youth program.
Love it.
Which is
Darnell Wiltz Incorporated.
It's something that, you know, I inspire to do. I'm a sports guy. I mean, sure. Again, I'm from Texas. I'll watch anything at any place, anytime, anywhere. I love sports, and my overall goal, I want all sports to go through my foundation. That's my goal.
So it's a 501c3 you
it
have.
Is.
That's
it
fantastic.
Is. And if I can do that and get as many kids in Waukesha as possible playing sports, it's just another avenue, right?
Sure.
I wasn't the smartest kid growing up. Again, I played the cards I was dealt.
Yeah,
I'm doing something that I'm good at, right? I believe I'm good at.
Sure.
I'm good at helping, right? I want to help people, and this is part of my way to do that.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, and that'll be it, is just getting the numbers up and getting kids excited about it and building up that tradition.
Absolutely. It's exciting now because we're winning at the youth level and all four levels. It's exciting.
Sure.
We
in a conference we should be playing.
And we play all the teams that we believe we should be playing.
Yeah. And you're not blowing teams out. You're winning like 14-7 or
yeah. These are 10, good games.
You know, yeah.
You know. And so, our eighth grade just lost their first game. It was 20-12. It was a very good game.
So
we had the ball last and couldn't punch it in. That's it.
Wow. So, but yeah, we were talking about your coaching staff. So your offensive coordinator John Stillman, who teaches middle school English. Teaches Shakespeare, which I think is really cool.
He is very, very...
And he's coached baseball and football for many years.
Absolutely. He played baseball
and football.
For a lot of years. He played at Waukesha South. He's a graduate of South. He was on our record board.
He was honored. He's on the Wall of Fame.
Yeah. He leads the
along with Bo Richter.
Yeah. And he's on a record board for most interceptions
in
the career.
Is that most interceptions?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And, he's a new varsity baseball coach.
He is. And
that's great. And I think baseball is great cross-training for football.
He wouldn't want me to say this, but he's in the Hall of Fame, Land O'Lakes.
Is that right?
Yes, he is. Okay. He played for, I believe, 21 years and won a bat championship. So
I love it.
Yeah, he was a baseball player. He's a stud, man.
You know, you look at him and he's a straight arrow.
He is.
But when we were doing the show at the farmer's market, you'd have some really questionable characters coming up. They're great friends with John Stillman from high school. They used to party together, and they're still good buddies.
Absolutely.
And John likes his heavy metal, so we celebrate that. But and he's teaching Shakespeare to middle school kids. How cool is that?
It is really cool. So a different perspective on football, I tell you. Sure. He's a thinker.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps me as a coach.
Yeah.
Think about things I might not have.
Right.
You know,
right.
Again, putting good people around you. Yeah. Surround yourself with good people.
So then on the defensive side, the defensive coordinator is Kevin McClain.
Coach McClain, yeah. Coach McClain played college football.
Yep.
He was in the military, so he is.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember who his coach was at college?
Was it... That's the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills.
Leslie Frazier. Yeah. And it was his first, he was on that 85 Bears team. His career was cut short with a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to get into coaching right away. And I think through his connections with the Bears, Coach McClain's gonna be pissed. He's gonna be upset with me, excuse me. But as a college in Palatine, Illinois, and he said those Bears would show up at the practices. And he'd go to church with Coach McClain, Coach Frazier on Sundays. And, he'd be sitting next to him. He'd have like Coach Frazier on one side and Mike Singletary on the other side. And so, but also too, Coach McClain coaches the recreation sports programs, including football.
Does. Absolutely.
He got my son Evan to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's also reaching out to the young kids.
Again, I'm telling you, and I'll say it again, surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
Right.
And McClain's definitely an asset.
He definitely.
Takes the kids out to dinner, goes to all their non-football games.
Absolutely.
So.
I mean, we've got coaches like that all over.
Yeah.
Coach Pelon is our coach offensive
Pelon,
line
yeah,
coach.
Coach Pelon, yeah.
And he has the offensive line over his house. To feed them, and they eat a lot, I'll tell you that, man.
Sure.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
But it's cool just to have these kids together and do things together.
Mm-hmm.
And promote that team that we've been lacking here for a long time, I'll tell you that. It hadn't been a team. It hadn't been a program.
Sure.
And that's what I want to make. And I want to make it an entire program. From fifth grade until you graduate, we're going to be in your life, and we're going to make sure you're doing things the right way.
That's terrific.
That's what I can do.
Yeah, and that's a great. Yeah. So, and that's the thing is, whether we're forced to stay in the Classic Eight or we hopefully get our way, and I guess we can talk about like how. We'll move that kind of because I'm thinking long term, but let's first talk about what can we do to get Waukesha South out of the Classic Eight. What can the city, the people of Waukesha, do to help you in that effort?
Well, first, we have to just trust the process, right? We have to trust that our athletic director put in the proper paperwork to get to the WIAA, to let them know that we would like to get out and go somewhere else, and go somewhere else where we fit.
Yeah.
Where we fit demographically, we fit economically, just somewhere we fit.
A level playing field.
Absolutely. And right now it's not. We have three high schools in Waukesha, and every other Classic Eight team, that's a one-horse town.
And even West is suffering from lower enrollment.
West is suffering for lower enrollment, too.
Coach Pelon told me after the West game, I saw him at the farmer's market the next day, and he said he's friends with the trainer over there, and she said that they're really hurting for numbers. A lot of kids getting hurt, and Adam was like, "Hey, welcome to our world. That's been our last 20 years here."
Absolutely. When we split up a town of 68,000 approximately to three high schools, and
then even before that, you have Catholic Memorial here,
absolutely.
And they're recruiting kids locally as well as I mean, they draw their legacy schools, so they can draw from around not only the area but. Around the country, we're learning.
Absolutely.
But
let's be real, they can do whatever they want right now. They're
well funded.
There's not many rules to what they can do. So
sure. You know, and that's what I wanted to figure out is the rules for, well, sticking with getting out of the Classic Eight discussion, I had Dan Schreier on at halftime of the Muskego game, and he had mentioned that there was some realignment that was going to take place for Southeast Wisconsin in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And that hopefully South and North will be part of that discussion. That because what I can't figure out, and I guess it's somewhat common, but I in New York State where I'm from, conferences had schools from the same, we call them class, here it's called division, and that's based on your school size, your enrollment.
Yep.
here in the Classic Eight, you've got schools like South and North that are like bordering 1,000 somewhere in the neighborhood. And then you've got all these other schools, Arrowhead, which should be in the Big Ten.
2,000
or more, 2,500 or more for some reason. Yeah. I just learned that as big as Arrowhead is, Muguanago has like the biggest, they draw from the biggest school district in the state.
Yeah.
You can't compete with that.
You can't. And again, we have two charter schools in Waukesha, the high school, the Health Academy, and the Engineering Academy. Great schools. Mm-hmm. If anybody want to send their kids for engineering and help, please send them to Waukesha South. Great schools.
Yeah.
It's about approximately 400 kids.
Sure.
The rest of the school is approximately 900, and that's who we draw from.
Yeah.
People go to these academies to go to the academies. They don't go to these academies to play football.
Right.
They may play tennis. They may play golf.
Sure.
They may play some of the more recreational sports. However, they're not there to play football.
Sure.
And that's kind of... Of a Woodland enrollment where there's 800 to 900 kids in the school.
So let me ask, because we talked about those numbers, but there's a deeper dive into those numbers, and you showed me this earlier when you look at the metrics too. That
I did.
We have an issue with, we've got a lot of lower income students at South that don't have the capacity or the resources to not only not play football, but just extracurricular activities.
We're about, let alone
having the bandwidth to focus on their studies.
Economically disadvantaged. Last year numbers, we're about 54% at Waukesha South. And the closest school to us is Waukesha North, and they're about 34%.
Okay.
The rest of the Class 8, they're in the teens.
Okay.
And if you're not a football person, I'll kind of explain it quickly.
Yeah.
When you're economically disadvantaged, think about food, the resources it takes to build your body up. I know my son takes protein shakes, one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
Right.
You may not be able to afford that.
Yeah.
You may be looking for your next meal. You might only eat once a day. So you don't have those three times a day. You don't have those healthy snacks. You're finding whatever you can to eat. You may have to go to work as well, so you're not getting
some sleep.
Some
kids got to help pay rent. I've got a kid that food on the table for the siblings.
He'll get here at 7 in the morning. He'll come to practice, and he has to leave at 6 because he has to get to work by 7.
Right.
And he'll work until 10.
Sure.
And he does that every single day.
Wow.
You know, and other kids are getting there. He hadn't had time to do his homework.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe he's staying up until 11. Maybe he's staying up to 12 at night. And he's doing that every day over and over again.
Right.
And he's not the only one.
Yeah.
So when we talk about that, we have kids that have to work. They have to go home. There's a family that today got a call. We had trouble in our basement. Mm. Son lives in a basement. He has to help clean up. Whereas a more affluent would be, hey, I'll call somebody
call the plumber.
Do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You go to practice. We'll take care of that. By the time you get home, it's all taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different things. We have different needs. And people need to see that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something we've learned, that Waukesha does have a poverty problem.
We do.
That doesn't get enough attention.
It does not.
Maybe the resources we need, and Waukesha South is a shining example of that. And in spite of the adversity, though, we've got great kids coming through the program.
Yes, we do.
Kids going on to good schools. Division 1, 2, and 3, getting great educations, great exposure.
Absolutely.
Your two senior captains are being highly recruited.
Yes.
C.J. Johnson has been accepted academically to University of Alabama, but still dreams of playing football, and he's going to give a shot. You know what I mean?
He can do it. That is a kid I wouldn't bet against.
His family's from there, wants to be closer. You know, was a big Crimson Tide fan growing up.
Yeah. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
He's got some offers, too, where if he doesn't want to go and walk on, he can have his school paid for.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, I'm proud of him for doing that and sticking through it. You know, and it's awesome. Tack Tadioka, he's got his first Division I offer as a quarterback.
St. Thomas.
D1 and he's got some D2 schools, too. So
and some Ivy League schools talking to him.
Cornell, he wants to, absolutely.
So
it's a good time to be a Waukesha South black shirt.
Yeah.
So, again, our kids are getting recruited just like everyone else's kids.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want this to be taken as we don't have good kids. We do.
Sure we do.
And they play hard, and they do the best they can with what they have. So it's
no
my job to continue to push forward to make sure we have the resources to get us over this hump.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And so, you know, what can we do? As you know, you recruited me successfully for great dads.
I did.
You know, what else can some of the moms and dads and the families and maybe the alumni can do to support South and growing the football program?
I've always said we don't necessarily want your money. I can tell you that. Right. It's helpful, absolutely. Sure. We want your time. We want to see you. We want you to volunteer for different things in a booster club, volunteer in the concessions, volunteer. We have a great opportunity.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
And we're back for the final segment of This Week in Waukesha. And as an ode to Coach Darnell Wiltz, I thought I'd favor him with a great ballad from his fellow Texan, Willie Nelson, and his cover of Rainbow Connection. I think Kermit the Frog's got nothing on Willie in that version. That's a great rendition. And hey, like Willie, you know, you're here, Coach Wiltz, to bring a Rainbow Connection to Waukesha South and the Black Shirt football program, to bring it back to those glory days of the Ken Holub era, when they'd won some state championships and you know, put a few guys in college and pros. And that's still the vision, is to get to, you know, that return to glory.
Absolutely.
And the keys, the keys are just a more equitable conference.
Yep.
And then all these, and to continue building upon the culture you've started. I've spoken before in interviews with McLean and with Coach Stillman, and with when Jared Dable, a Black Shirt dad, came on about your strength and training program, which has been huge. Yeah. And in fact, in your first full season the year before, and Coach Wiltz has just finished his second season, there were no major injuries.
No major injuries.
A lot of people, including myself, attributed that to your strength and training program.
Absolutely. And so, this year,
I think because of lower, you know, numbers.
Yeah.
You know, we had the numbers, you know, they weren't great the year before, but they were good enough that, and you had no injuries.
Yep. Well, we had three levels last year. This year, we couldn't, because of numbers, we couldn't safely fill, you know, three levels. Yeah. And, you know, when people are playing the full game, and you have these injuries. And unfortunately, these weren't just soft tissue injuries. These were
very
breaks.
Profound season-ending. Yeah. And then with the strength training program is getting its results this season.
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
At the youth level, the enrollment has really skyrocketed in the past year. I think it went from like somewhere in the teens maybe to like 100 kids.
Yeah.
And now with two winning seasons for the sixth graders and eighth graders, there's a lot of excitement that hopefully we can get some more kids to participate.
There is some.
You know, we talked about a great coaching staff, and there's quite a few coaches I haven't even mentioned yet, but they're all top shelf people.
Yes, they are.
You have to do a big shout out to Chris Carrillo.
Yeah.
We might be in-laws someday, right?
you might be.
But he's a great guy. He played college ball at Northern Illinois.
Yes, he did.
He's coached some youth football. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great football mind.
You know what? And these guys keep me, I'm going to say, sane for all the reasons I said before. They're just good people.
Right.
They take a lot off of my plate, which is great. And I can be a coach at the high school level, and I can also oversee my youth program. So it takes a lot of stress off of me. So, and I appreciate
some great minds,
absolutely.
Great horse,
and they support me.
Yep.
They supported me through everything that we've done. They supported me through this decision to make sure we keep players safe as well.
Sure.
With the ending of our season a little bit early.
Well, and you've got you know, one of the Nick Dable, Logan's dad, coached youth football for a few years, and he said he'd gladly do it again. So there's another person that you could use if you need him.
Yes.
We'll
knock on his door a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and yours truly, if I get clearance from the tower, I could return to I could do some D-backs or some receivers.
Let's do it.
So, or at least be the sports information director. The school doesn't really have a sports information director, right?
We don't.
Because like I said, there's all these great stories. Coaches with great resumes and great connections to colleges and pros.
Mm-hmm.
Great kids in the program. Great school with great offerings in addition to the two academies.
You might have just talked your way into a job there,
there
buddy.
There you go. Yeah. There so we'll have to talk to Coach Schreier. Maybe we'll apply for a grant through your foundation or find bigger foundations. And
we're going to have to
get some funding.
The boss at home first.
Yeah. Yeah. President of the Boosters. That's right. The my wife's the Buddy Garrity of Waukesha South football. That's what we call it. So,
yeah.
But anyway. But also, too, it's just what can we do about recruiting that's within the rules, mm-hmm. doesn't involve coaches because coaches can't recruit, but what can we do to steer kids towards the youth program and then all the way through?
Well, I think it's just spreading the word about the good things that we're doing at Waukesha South. I think Waukesha South gets a bad rap in Waukesha, and I can say that I've been here, and they do. I think... people have this bad connotation, a bad feeling about Waukesha South. It's a great school. We have great kids. We have great academics. It's the oldest school in Waukesha, and it has a lot of history.
And I believe we can overcome that because
absolutely.
When I was first, I used to commute up here from Illinois with a company in Brookfield that was a client that hired me. And I remember one of the guys I worked with said, yeah, you don't want to look at Waukesha because they're on the news every night. And back then, Waukesha had some issues downtown. But we're here in downtown, and I'll go anywhere downtown at night now. The downtown has really transformed itself. The city, there's so many great – geographically, it's probably the biggest city in Waukesha County. I have a theory that they ran out of town names, and they just said, screw it, just call it Waukesha. But there's wealthy areas. There's it's a very eclectic community. And there's a lot of these different areas we can draw with open enrollment. I think there's some great stories we can tell to get kids interested in coming here and trying the football program.
Absolutely.
And getting a chance to play.
Yeah.
With these other Classic Eight teams, they'll give you a good song and dance, but you may not end up starting or may not getting the playing time you want.
You may not. I can tell you what, you'll get coached well, mm-hmm. right? And you'll get to play.
Yeah.
At the level that, We deem that you are.
Right.
And we will not, I'll tell you this, we won't put you in harm's way for a game. I'll tell you that.
So, sure. Yeah. Yep. So, and I can say that as a black shirt dad, having a 6'4 son playing in the defensive backfield. You're always worried about a tall guy like that getting his knees taken out. But
you do?
He's, again, with the practicing and the weight training and everything, you guys are taking great care of him. We're grateful
Thank
for
you.
That.
Thank
and he's
you.
Learned a lot. The weight training pro, he's already talking about it now.
Good.
He's like, Mom, I got to start eating a lot again
Good.
In the weight training. But it's really helped him with his school, too.
Yeah. And even more than that, I promise this when I was in an interview, I promise this when I speak to parents, and I say this over and over and over again. It's not always about, hey, is my son going to be a five-star player?
Sure.
Is my son going to the NFL? I'm not worried about that. That's your genetics.
Yeah.
I have absolutely nothing to do about that.
Sure.
All I want for these kids is to have a great experience in our program, and I want these kids to be better people when they leave our program.
Yep.
The last thing I want is for them to come back and share their stories to others that were in the same situation or that is in the same situation as they were at one point in time.
And support the football program.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So hopefully we'll get there, and I know we will.
Yeah.
It's just going to take time. It's also going to take some people to open their eyes.
That's it.
To see what's actually going on and what's transpiring in the Waukesha community, especially the Waukesha South community.
Sure.
And that requires, again, people to open their eyes to what's going on.
And have an open mind.
Absolutely. We have our open mind for everything else. We need people to have an open mind.
Yeah.
And, again, I'm happy to be a black shirt.
Same here.
I tried this in 2011 before I moved here, and it didn't work. I ended up being a head coach at Kettle Moraine.
Okay.
This is where I want to be, and this is
Sounds
where
great.
I know I should be.
All right. Waukesha South, black shirt football coach Darnell Wiltz, thanks for joining us. We're definitely going to have you.